Thank you for joining us at Sharon Baptist Church today. We are located in Concord, North Carolina. If you'd like to come join us for services, you can get directions on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Also, Vacation Bible School starts soon.
Giddy Up Junction, our VBS program for all ages. Come on, come on. Starts not this week, but next week's. Oh, my golly jolly. I've got so much to do. I've got to get the hayride ready. I've got to get the snacks. I've got to get the craft. I've got to get the awards. Golly wally. I've got to pick out the bounce houses. I've got to.
That's right. Vacation Bible School starts on Wednesday, July 31st. To find out more, visit us online at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Today's message continues Pastor James Strickland's series on how to live until Jesus comes. This week's sermon is entitled, No Judging.
In returning back this morning to the series we started a few weeks ago on how to live till Jesus comes, part of that living till Jesus comes involves not judging one another. And I want to speak on that, no judging till Jesus comes. Look with me, please, in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And then over in 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Matthew 7, 1 and 2, and 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. In the book of St. Matthew, chapter 7, these are the words of our Lord Jesus. And he says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Then Paul picks up on the Lord's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and he says this, "Let a man so account of us as are the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord." Pay close attention now to verse 5. "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God." The Corinthian Christians had lots of problems, probably had the most potential of any church in the New Testament. Yet they also were plagued with so many problems. And one of the problems in the church at Corinth was that they were having a struggling time living out their profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there had been some factions, we'd say today, cliques or groups or whatever word you want to use. There had some factions arisen in the Corinthian church, and this group said, well, we're going to follow Apollos. He's our leader. This group over here said, well, no, we're going to follow Paul. He's the one we need to be following. And this group where he said, no, we're going to follow Christ. So there was divisions in the church at Corinth over whose leadership they were going to follow. The problem arose of brother judging brother over who they thought were the best leaders. So the factions had arisen, the problem was there. So the Apostle Paul felt really compelled of God to write to them and not just give them some correction, they needed that too, but to give them some clear word from God on the subject of judging one another. Couldn't we use some help today in that same area? Don't we still have problems that prevail today in churches of people, Christians? Now, remind you, he's writing to Christians. He's not writing to lost people. He's writing to brothers and sisters in Christ. He gave them some reminders and some corrections here about the subject of judging. Now, we know today that you can pick out most any church you want to pick out, any denomination you can choose, and within that local fellowship, you're going to find a certain element somewhere of somebody judging somebody else. Do you know primarily what judging is? It's someone finding fault in somebody else's life. So they criticize somebody else, and they condemn somebody else, and they judge other people. So many times, the person who does the judging set themselves up as the judge, the jury, and the executioner, executing somebody else's witness or testimony or their lifestyle. So we know it happens, and so we need help today, don't we, in this really important subject here of judgment. We need help. Amen? Yes, we do. Well, Christ gives words through Paul what God's word is about judging. That's why I titled the message, No Judging. Plainly it says here in Matthew chapter 7, judge not. That's clear enough to me, pretty clear, pretty concise, that we should not be judging anybody else. We need to hear Paul's words. We need to hear Christ's words about judgment. No judging one another. We need to hear it. We need to heed it in our personal lives as well as in the life of the local church, don't we? Indeed, we need help, don't we? Let's get that help today. Several things here Paul and Jesus together describe about judging. First of all, notice this. Paul gives a caution here against judging one another. Matthew 7, Jesus says, judge not that ye be not judged. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5, he says, picks up on what Jesus had already said, he says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So he gives a caution here. So he begins, as I go back to my title, no judging. There's no room in the personal life. There's no room within the fellowship of the local church for any of us to judge somebody else, to criticize somebody else, to condemn somebody else, to find fault with somebody else's lifestyle or what's going on in their life. Listen, remember again, he's writing to Christians, Paul is. Remember, it's brother and sister he's talking about here. Paul spoke why we are not equipped to judge anybody. Now, if I were to ask you, give me some good sound reasoning why we are not equipped to judge others. I find here some things. He talks about, first of all, of personal judging of one person over another. I see three good reasons here I want to share with you why we're not qualified to judge anybody else. First of all, you'll never know all the facts. You cannot know all the details in somebody's life. We only at best get little bits and pieces and little portions of what's going on in somebody's life or what situation they may be facing. There's no way you can ever get all the details. Only Christ has the details in everybody's life. Amen? I can't know all about your life. You can't know all about my life. At best, we're going to have just some partial details, aren't we? So that makes us totally unqualified to judge somebody else. Unless you have all the details, then we don't qualify. So none of us have all the details, so none of us are able and are qualified to judge our brother or our sister. So that's a good reason, first of all, we're unqualified because we don't have the details. A second reason we're unqualified to judge anybody else is because, listen to me carefully, we cannot be completely impartial. It's not possible for us to be completely impartial towards somebody else. Look at these factions that were there in the church at Corinth. This group had chosen to judge this group because they found fault with them. This group chose to judge this group because they found fault with them. They didn't know the details. They weren't being impartial. They had chosen their reasons for why they chose to judge somebody else. Listen, they had formed partial, I guess you'd say, reasons to support their leader. Why I am satisfied this is the leader I want to follow. Why I'm satisfied over here, this is the leader that I'm going to follow. We're right and you're wrong. They do not have the ability to be impartial. At best, we hear the court systems they talk about. Well, we operate on the facts. Just give us the facts. With all the fact-finding, not fault-finding now, please don't misunderstand it. With all the fact-finding, all the facts we can gather up together, at best, you're just going to have part of them. Never going to have all the facts. So it makes us totally unqualified to be a judge, doesn't it? To set ourselves up as a judge to judge somebody else's life, when first of all, you don't have the details. Second of all, you don't have the ability to be totally impartial. We all have preconceived ideas. We have personal preferences, and we're prejudiced to some point. All of us are. So we're completely unqualified to judge somebody else because we don't know the details. Secondly, because we can't be completely impartial. And thirdly, none of us, now hear me well, none of us, not a one of us, is good enough to judge somebody else. The Bible says there's none good, no, not but one, Jesus. And just after this passage in Matthew, Jesus lists a story about a person judging another person, saying, oh, you've got a splinter in your eye. Let me get that splinter out of your eye. And he says at the same time, the one wanting to get the splinter out of his neighbor's eye has a beam in his own eye. Can't see his for looking at somebody else. None of us are good enough to judge anything or anyone prematurely. He talks about personal judgment. He talks about premature judging. Listen, he says, judge nothing before the time there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Why does he say that? Why does he say to us, don't judge anything or anybody before the time, because there will be a time when a true judge is going to come. The true judge is none other than Jesus Christ. We do know that, don't we? And there will be a day of judgment to come. We do know that, don't we? So that's why he says, don't judge anything or anyone prematurely. Well, so literally, it sounds kind of coarse, but literally, here's what it means. Stop judging. It literally means shut our mouth. We understand that, don't we? Shut our mouth. Don't be judging somebody else because, first of all, you're not qualified. So he gives a caution here to the church at Corinth. And we have the same caution to us today, just as surely as they had it then, don't we? But he also knew, Paul knew, there were going to be those people in Corinth who would not heed the caution to personal judging or premature judging. He knew they wouldn't listen. He knew they wouldn't heed it. He knew they wouldn't pay attention to what he said. So he secondly gives the consequences of judging. From the caution, he moves to the consequences. There are consequences. You do know that, don't you? If we judge somebody else, there are going to be consequences. There are going to be repercussions, if you will. There are going to be results to come from that. Well, aren't we still plagued today with some of the same thing? Same things? There are people today who absolutely refuse to hear the caution from God's Word, so they still set themselves up and judge other people. Now, there may be a lot of other things to be involved, but I want to show you two consequences that are given here. If you choose to set yourself up and judge somebody, here are some consequences you are sure to face in your life. First of all, you're going to get some individual judging to return onto you. Look at verse 2 in chapter 7. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what meat or measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. If we could only try before we judge anybody else, if we could just attempt or try to place ourselves in that person's position, if we could just almost transfer the thoughts of it being them or it being us, put ourselves in their position, I promise you, we would think differently than what we do. And we would act differently sometimes than what we do, wouldn't we? See the rule of judging someone here. It's clear, it's plain, it's concise. Just as you judge others, he says, you're going to be judged. When you criticize somebody, you're going to get criticized. When you condemn somebody, you're going to get condemned. When you find fault with somebody else, there's somebody going to find fault with you. Amen? So, we must not judge other people. The golden rule, we all know what that means. It comes into play here. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You wouldn't want somebody criticizing you, would you? Condemning you, judging you, finding fault with you. Well, then don't do that to other people. It's that simple. It's going to be some individual judgment, just exactly what you mete out, he says. Just how you deal with other people is how God's going to deal with you. So it's a personal thing here. There'll be some individual judging that comes. But notice something else here, he says. There'll be some proportional judging too. Did you get that in verse 2? Listen to it again in chapter 7. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Try to place yourself, if you can, in somebody else's position. The old Cherokee Indian quote was, you know, don't complain or criticize till you walk a mile in somebody else's moccasins. Try to put yourself in their place. What's going on in their life? Sometimes you need to wonder, you know, with people's lives, it's a miracle of God. Some people do as well as what they do. They've had a horrible time growing up in a broken home, a broken family, somebody not knowing their father, not knowing their mother, never having been brought to church, never having any kind of background whatsoever. It's a miracle of God that some people even get to where they are in life. So think about their position, where they're coming from, what they've been involved in. Sometimes it would really change the way we think, wouldn't it? Well, proportional judgment. Just what you deal out, he says, what you mete out, what you give out, how you do, it's going to come back to you in the same proportion in which you send it out. So that being true, and I know that's true, the Word of God says it is, then I would want good to come back to me, wouldn't you? I mean, common sense would tell you, you want good to come back to your life, don't you? Well, if we do, then we must learn to deal out, mete out, share, if you will, good things to other people. Listen, there's a lot of people going to have a lot of judgment coming back in their lives for the way they've criticized other people, why they've condemned other people, judged other people, found all kinds of fault in somebody's life. I dare say every one of us knows at least one person in your life. If that person walks up, you just know before you meet them what's going to happen. They're going to have something negative to say about something or someone. And they're going to spew it out in your life and let you stand there and hear it if you'll stand there and hear it. But listen, what they don't seem to realize is this, what they're spewing out on somebody else is going to come right back on them at some time and in the same way that they send it out. So, there's a consequence or two. You'll have individual judgment coming back to us if we judge others. And we'll have proportional judgment. Just what you send out is exactly what's going to come back. That's why we shouldn't judge anybody else until we walk in their position, if we can. But I want you to see something else Paul says here. Not just that there's a caution, don't judge. There are consequences if you do judge. There's, praise God, a cure for judging. Listen to what he says in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time, he says, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Praise God, there is a sure cure for judgment here. In this passage, at least, it's a twofold cure. Number one is this. The cure is going to come when the Lord appears. Judge nothing prematurely. Judge nothing until the time, he says, until the Lord appears. When the Lord appears, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, there's two particular things God's going to do when he appears. The first thing he's going to do is expose darkness and sin. Listen, he's going to bring to light, Paul said, the secret sins, the secret things that were done in the dark. Now, please remember this. If we judge somebody secretly in the dark, so to speak, commit the sin of judging somebody else in the dark, when Christ comes, he's going to expose your sin in the light. So you don't think you can get away with it? No, you're not going to get away with it. Nobody does. Jesus will expose those dark, hidden, secret things and sins that are committed in the dark. So he's going to expose the darkness when the Lord comes. But there's something else he's going to do. He's going to disclose the desires why people judged the person they did. What were their gains? What were their motives? What were their reasons? What did they hope to accomplish by judging somebody else's life? He says, Paul says, God's going to reveal when he comes the aims, the motives in people's lives, why they judge somebody else. Well, I think that's going to cure the end of judging. What do you think about it? When Jesus comes, the Lord's appearing. He'll expose the things of darkness. He'll disclose the very reason why people did what they did. Then he says something else is going to happen. The Lord's going to appear. Then the Lord's going to award those when he comes. When he comes, there's going to be one of two things that's going to take place in our lives. We'll have a commendation or we'll have a condemnation. Now, I'm going to ask us personally, what do you expect when the Lord comes, when he appears, and he begins to award out the things in life of what we've done, how we've lived? Do you expect when he comes to have a commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or do you expect a condemnation for what we've done, how we've lived? Well, Jesus is going to appear, and we're going to appear with him at the judgment seat of Christ. We who know the Lord, every one of us, is going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and he will be the righteous judge who will expose and disclose everything about our lives. And then either we're going to have a commendation, hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou the joys of your Lord, or we're going to be ashamed of what we've done and how we've lived, and we're going to be condemned at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we're not going to be lost. Don't misunderstand me. We're just going to be ashamed. It'll be dealt with in our lives. So I ask, what do you expect to hear when you stand before Jesus? Well done? Would you say, oh, amen, or oh, me? Do you expect to be awarded? Or do you expect to be accosted? What about it in your life? I'll tell you what it'll do. It all depends, beloved. Listen to me carefully. It all depends on how we live here and how we live now as what we're going to hear when we stand before him on that great day of judgment. So I'm just going to conclude the short message with this. No judging. No judging whatsoever. I'm not qualified. Neither are you. I don't want to be condemned for being guilty of that, do you? I want to hear the well done when I stand before Jesus, don't you? I want a commendation of doing what's right and living right and being pleasing to the Lord and doing what he tells me to do. I want to hear the caution Paul gives. I don't want to face those consequences. And I know there's a cure coming when the Lord comes. He'll take care of all of it. Probably without a doubt, until he comes, there's going to still be some judging going on. But praise God, I don't want it to be me. What about you? I don't want it to be our church, do you? No, we don't. Let's bow together and pray. Father, maybe there's someone here today who knows in their heart they've been guilty. Maybe they're guilty today. May they come, Lord Jesus, this day and repent of it as a sin. And ask you to forgive them and cleanse their heart and help them, Lord Jesus, to be careful in the days to come not to judge anybody else's life, because surely, Lord, there's only one judge and we're not the judge. Only one person's qualified to judge another, and that's our Lord. He will do that in due time. So help those who may today be guilty. Maybe the Holy Spirit himself has already convicted them and they need to deal with this today, that they may live a good, clean Christian life and be not ashamed when they meet Jesus one day. then Lord Jesus, there may be someone here today who's never given their heart to you. And they've seen today that it's impossible to live a good Christian life without knowing Christ. And to be judgmental free, we have to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So they'd want to come today and say, Pastor, I want to give my heart to Lord Jesus. I want to live like you've preached. I want to live that I won't have to fall under the condemnation or face the consequences of being a judge here. So I want to give my life to Christ, and I want Him to lead and guide me and help me to be what He's called me to be. Lord Jesus, whatever that need may be today in that person's life, now's the time, this is the place, this is the hour to allow you to deal with it in their heart and life to your honor and glory and praise. I ask it all in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. And I know the Holy Spirit of God will deal in our hearts of things that may be astray, have gone awry, sins we might have committed, things that need to be corrected in our lives, just like Paul wrote to correct them. Not just to remind them, to correct them. Maybe there's some correction in our lives that need to be dealt with today. If there is, then you ought to come at the invitation. Face it with the Lord at the altar, and He'll cleanse your heart. And you can leave this place clean and ready to continue to serve Him. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, now's the time. Now's the place. Today is the day of salvation. Come receive Christ today. Come let Him work in your heart and life to what He wants to do for His honor and glory. And I promise you, you'll get the good. Amen. Aren't we so thankful that when we commit sin, and we know we're guilty, and the Spirit of God convicts us and draws us, aren't we so thankful that if we'll just claim 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He, the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, if we do that, we can walk out the doors of this place of worship clean, ready to go on to serve the Lord in a manner pleasing unto Him. Aren't we so thankful that we can come to Him? We don't have to carry those old burdens, and we don't carry them any longer than we just want to. There's a place, an altar, we can come and bow down and place those burdens there, confess those sins, rise up in victory for Lord Jesus Christ, and then look forward to the day of the Lord's appearing and the Lord's awarding those. It says, every man then shall have praise of God. If you're commended when you meet the Lord, what praise we're going to give Him. Amen. Hope your heart's clear.
Well, that was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can visit us online at SharonBaptistConcord.com. We'd love to have you come by in person sometime. Our address is 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, North Carolina. If you're a first-time listener, you can download this sermon and also listen to other sermons and even watch some of them on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. VBS is coming soon, and we want to share with your children the love of God. Please join us. It starts the week after next on July 31st, which is a Wednesday, at 6:30 p.m.
Giddy up, Junction, our VBS program for all ages. Come on, come on. Starts not this week, but next week's. Oh, my golly jolly. I've got so much to do. I've got to get the hayride ready. I've got to get the snacks. I've got to get the crafts. I've got to get the awards. Golly wally. I've got to pick out the bounce houses. I've got to.
Yeehaw! That's right. It is Vacation Bible School at Sharon Baptist Church. Starting July 31st at 6:30 p.m., that's a Wednesday, going to run Thursday, Friday, and finish up that Saturday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Find out more information on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. You can find us on Facebook at Sharon Baptist Concord. Thank you for joining us. See you next week. God bless.